Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Glory to God. Agree with somebody that needs healing right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. My Lord, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem each other better than themselves. Look it over and somebody shake their hand and say, I love you more than I love me. Look at the other person on the other side and say, I love you more than I love me. Because if we really meant what we said, we would go to the altar when the one right next to us goes. We'd go to the altar when the one we don't even know goes. We'd be concerned about every person that God brings into the midst. But when we come in, we just want to dance a little while, shout a little while, and go home. But God doesn't bring us together to entertain one another. He brings us together to worship in His presence. That when somebody sees something in you, that it'll cause them to be like Jesus, to be delivered when they're in bondage, to be saved when they're lost. Glory to God. We need to change out our stuff and get under the like-mindedness of Christ. You might think strife and vainglory is going to solve your problems, but it's not. Sow division if you want to. Yeah, you wouldn't admit that you do it, but you've done it before. Sow division if you want to. It will not change your problem. Try to get somebody else mad at somebody else just because they made you mad. It's not going to prosper. But what kind of humility would it show if you would go to the person that hurt you and work it out amongst yourselves? What kind of an example will it be if you're able to work things out and then people catch wind instead of, I can't believe they got in that little tussle the other day, but all of a sudden they're hearing, wow, they worked everything out. Wow, I can't believe, you'll have people saying, I can't even believe they showed up and apologized. They didn't even do anything wrong. He said, if you even thought that someone had a problem with you, to go to them and show your love to them. If you even thought, like-mindedness of Christ will show you that you ought to go and show people that it ain't about you. It's not about getting an I'm sorry back. It's not about getting your justice back. But it's about showing humility, because through humility, the world can be saved. My father gave me this book. It's called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I was reading a lot about some of the saints of God that faced very terrible deaths. And we think we have it bad. We really don't. But the perception is everything. What we perceive to be against us is almost more powerful than the actual event. What I perceive that Sister Tammy have a problem with me would be more of a hold on me than it would be if she came up and slapped me right across the face. That would only last for a couple seconds. But the perception of a problem causes us to hold back. The perception that nobody wants us to obey the Lord holds us back. The perception that nobody cares makes us feel unloved. But honey, if you ever get in the thoughts of Christ, the first thing you'll realize, like we preached the other night, is that you're loved. When I received deliverance, you know what I felt before I felt freedom? What was it? Love. All those 8 years of pain, misery, all of a sudden I felt a comfort. An awe-inspiring feeling that just let me know it was going to be fine. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you have got to really think about what is on your mind so that the enemy can't play with you. Because the perception that things are getting worse are just as detrimental as an actual action at all. We do not walk by fear, for if we did, the name of Jesus would not be enough. Then we would be praying, Jesus, if you're able, instead of saying, Jesus, I know you are. So fear is a shackle. The perception of what is to come is bondage. And God said, if there be anything that I have given you that is good, anything that I have blessed you with, let these things change your mind. I had something happen to me at work a couple weeks ago where I thought they were about to boot me out of there. Falsely accused over the silliest of things. And I'm thinking to myself, God, I've been obeying you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in myself, I said, you mean to tell me this is the reward? This is what I have to look forward to? So instead of trying to defend myself in the moment, I felt something in me in the hour that it was going on. My Lord, I felt something in me that didn't need to go above and beyond to prove myself. I spoke the truth. I went home at the end of the day and I let it go. And I didn't pray, Jesus, if you're able. Hear me tonight. My mind didn't say, Jesus, if you're able, take care of this for me. But I have found that through the good things he's done, he's built up humility. The ability to trust in him for the things out of my control. So I didn't pray, God, if you're able. I said, Lord, you know my life. You know my heart. If this isn't for me, help me to accept it and move forward. And in a week's time, this is recent. Yeah, I still came and preached even when I was dealing with it. It's not going to keep me out of the pulpit. And it went from being that they could have got rid of to things transpiring to where now they can't do it without me. If you remember, a man in the Bible by the name of Joseph had every reason to let his mind let go. But yet he was like-minded unto God. And he went from being the one that everyone forgot to the one sold in slavery to being exalted. Man, I feel the presence of God. To being exalted in due time to where he didn't say, God, if you're able. But even in prison, even in the pit, even in a chance where he could have got his restitution against his family, what was it that he showed? Humility. Love for others greater than himself. The love of Christ was pure humility. How was it pure? Because he was innocent. He had done no wrong in the world. So when he gave his life for you, out of the innocence of humility comes a freedom and a change of mind. I am not as though I was. You read it in the Bible. I am a new creature. Old things are passed away. My old frame of mind is gone. Who I used to think I was and who the things I thought I needed, they are behind me. We love and minister about Paul, but often don't realize his first train of thought was to kill you before it ever was to tell you you needed the salvation. He went and wanted to destroy the Christian church and ended up being one of the ones that tried to confound the most that he could. Traveling in the worlds where he was not received, receiving a martyr's death. About the only one that I read of that didn't go out terribly was John, St. John. He lived to be about 100 years old, best that I can tell. But many of them suffered in humility just for you. And we might not compare ourselves to ones that we esteem so high when we read, but you possess the same humility. You possess the same way to think that you can be different. And we can think all these things and be different because that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We're going to go on from verse 10. I'm going to finish this. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That's saying the things that are above you that God has to do for you. The things around you that God has to move for you. And the things that are under you that are moving, that are out of your control. Jesus covers it all. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Read verse 13, for it is God which what? Worketh in you to both will and to do of his good pleasure and to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye be what? Blameless and harmless. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as what? Lights in the world. Humility is the light you shine. And however bright it is, shows however much it's not about you. And when we walk in his love, then we're not fighting for others' love. I love my wife. I appreciate her. I appreciate my marriage. But if she left me tomorrow, I would be no less loved than I am today. When all would forsake us, if you understand who God is in you, whether rich or poor, whether with a lot or little, the frame of mind is not shaken. And out of the abundance of your heart, the world will hear what lives in you. I challenged people in one of the books I read to Write down the first bad thing that tries to come out of your mouth and read it back to yourself. Because if you read back some of the things that you think you can get away with saying and really thought about it, you wouldn't say it again. And if we ever wrote down some of the times when we doubt God and really thought about it, then we're not using the name of Jesus like it was meant to be used. Humility will be a test for all of us in this place. How much is it about others more than it is about you? A pastor is the representation of humility in leadership. Those that will be willing to suffer and receive nothing in return. Some of the poorest incomes you read about are those that preach. People in third world countries don't even have enough to make a real roof above their heads and don't get nothing in return, but are blessed. People that don't, there's some preachers that are like, if I don't get my dental and vision, get my insurance, get my retirement, get at least $55,000 a year, I'm not even coming and preaching at your church. There are some singers that say, well, unless you can pay for the hotel, the gas, and all of our expenses, then we don't feel led to show up and help you. And I understand you've got to pay expenses, but when the desire becomes more about the love of what builds you up instead of what God really gave it for you to do, to begin with, then it becomes something that is not of God, and it will not prosper. Singing groups come and go all the time because it's not done in humility. Preachers come and go because they're not willing to walk in humility. Teachers come and go because they don't get it. They don't understand that when you're teaching people, it's not to receive in return, but it's to lead others. And out of having no expectation for return, God fills exactly what you need. Are you blessed tonight? I want you to know this much. The Lord has not been bringing this out here for us to turn a deaf ear. And if we turn a deaf ear to who the Lord sends to give it, He'll move them on. We've got to receive what God is speaking. You want to sit me down? I can promise you somebody would come in and preach the same thing. You get tired of me, it's fine. But God will get His word out. He even used a donkey in the Bible. So He'll do what He has to do to get out His word. But it is so important that we understand not so much why we had to go through the test as much as what is being tested. If we understand what is being tested, then we know how to pray to get stronger. If we need more love, we need to pray for more love. If we need more patience, we must pray for more patience. It's not just going to show up in the hour you need it. You're going to snap if you don't have it. I must be the only one. It's all right. Maybe one or two of you that'd be willing to admit. We're human. Man is born of a woman. Few days and full of trouble. But with God, we realize the good that's in us. Though we were once born as cursed, through Christ, we are blessed. When I got saved, I didn't grow 5 inches and put on 50 more pounds and become the figure that I ever desired to be. In fact, I'm finding now that I'm getting more gray in my hair, more tired every day, hurting more than I ever thought I would. Does that mean I'm not blessed? No. It's a frame of mind. When people come against me, does that mean I'm doing wrong and need to change everything? Not necessarily. But we are tested for a purpose. Hear this. This is a revelation. For the thing which you lack when you are tested is the thing that God wants to bless you with more. If you lack patience, you will be tested that out of it, you gain knowledge to grow in it, that you become perfect or mature or like Christ. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I'm not bringing the milk anymore. But I've drawn the line on the devil, and I've let him know I'm going to tell exactly what God's people need to hear. I've drawn a line. Now, I could come and preach salvation, but what good does it preach salvation if everybody's minds are not in the same place? What good does it do to drive a certain agenda or a certain purpose unless we're all of the same mind? Pentecost would not have come had there not been a body of people that would have come together. I believe that it was so much God's will that the Spirit descend that if people wouldn't have came together, He would have moved in a gaggle of cows to get His Spirit moving. Because when God wants to move in something, it doesn't matter what it is. He'll move in it and He'll change the situation. I've been in accidents before. before where I should have died, but the hand of God caused even physics to be defied. I've been in situations where I should have died from the drug abuse, but there was something in my body that said, this heart will beat once more. It will go on. He will not perish, because when the Spirit of God wants to move and take care of you, it will give you what you need. That is what it is. That is what the Spirit is to be in you, that you be made strong in your weakness. Don't act like that you're going to get blindsided. The Lord's going to remind you of these words. I felt it. I'm telling you to be ready. I'm telling you to prepare your mind right now. The Lord wouldn't give it unless it was important. I'm not going to say the word warning, but I'm going to say you better prepare for what's ahead of you. For the things that we are wanting authority over, we cannot have unless we pass the test. There were very few disciples that passed the test, but those that passed it had the power of Christ. You mean old Jared could walk in the power of Christ? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I've already seen God move out of my own willingness. Not out of my might, not out of my strength or wisdom, but out of willingness. I've seen God move at my very petition. I've seen people on their deathbed get saved when we prayed a prayer. I've seen people be healed when nobody could get to them except by going to their house. Didn't have the church house to pray, but out of willingness in getting like-minded to Christ. And that's why it's so important to read the Word. Because if you don't know the words to quote to the enemy, you're going to run out of things to say. And then you're going to be like, well, I know the Bible says something about I have the power to tread on something. But maybe I'll go read that later. But in the meantime, you just leave me alone. Honey, the devil's not going to leave you alone. You've got to learn how to equip yourself for the battle. You know that when David faced Goliath, that he didn't put on more than he needed, but he used exactly what he felt like would get the job done. That's what the Lord has given you tonight. I don't preach this song just because I like to hear myself. In fact, I don't really like to. I wish I could be done twice as early. But I feel something every time that my flesh says to give in to what I should do and makes me go on another step. He's giving you right now what you need for what's ahead of you. That is the reason we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He's giving you what you need for what's ahead of you. So be not only a hearer, but do it. When you realize what's lacking in you, pray. And it said, whatsoever you desire in your heart when you pray, believe, and it shall be done. Having a sound mind is everything. I love oatmeal cream pies. Honey, if I could get by eating oatmeal cream pies, I would make my living that way. I would. Donuts, cakes, cereal, peanut butter and jelly, ice cream with chocolate, cookie dough bites. Oh, man. Now that'll preach. But the Bible didn't tell me to walk in the midst of eating junk food. It said to walk and be of good health. It didn't also tell me to sit around and think bad of myself, to put on a sad country song and make myself sit there and cry about how bad things are. It said to walk in sound mind. You don't walk in sound mind unless you get in the mind of Christ. And you don't get to the mind of Christ unless you see the good that's in you. You're able to do that by the anointing. That's why Jesus said, though I go away, I give you the means to still realize you have my power. I give you the means to still realize that you're able to do this. You read it on in Philippians. I can do all things through who? That what? Strengthens what? What is he strengthening? He's not going to strengthen you in something you're already strong in, but he wants to give you strength in your weakness. That's powerful. If you only could let God have your weakness, he said he'd make you strong. Don't walk in this world lost. Don't walk in this world without direction, but see the things that need to change and ask God to help you in your weakness. Confess with your mouth your mistakes, your transgressions, and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he said he'd be your salvation. He said, for those that should call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. He wants to save your life. He wants you to be healthy. And that doesn't mean you get oatmeal cakes all the time. But it means that he causes you to think about what you can do better. For when you think in the mind of Christ, it changes everything.